B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Right now we get welcome in to Man, and we welcome in every Thursday to look at the upcoming Eagles game. You see him on the ESPN morning show, Get Up. He is a Westchester native. He's a Philly fan. His name is Paul Hembakidis, but we know him as Hembo. Hembo!
Mikey Miss, how we doing, buddy?
Well, this is a very historic appearance for you because you're appearing on the 10th anniversary show, and I know you grew up listening to this station.
Wow.
We made it 10 years, Hembo.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you, man. I am honored to be just a small little part of the equation. That is a delight. I'm really happy for you guys. Congratulations, and I've been listening, as you know, for all 10 of those years.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're doing a great job, Hembo.
Yeah,
I love you.
Hembo always delights us up with some stats. Now, Hembo, you're a Philly guy also, Philly fan. So they clipped the manager today. And how do you feel about that? And I believe that you have some numbers that may justify the move they made today.
I got a couple numbers and I got a couple takes. So the Phillies increased their payroll this season by $45 million, 18 to 19, I mean. That was the most in the majors. And they floundered down the stretch for the second consecutive year, guys. Under Gabe Kapler, the Phillies were 16 games below 500 in September. They were 14 games above 500 in all other months. Now, I pulled those two numbers for a reason. One, obviously, we know that there were enormous expectations heading into the season. And when you have a bunch of stars, a bunch of guys that aren't even hitting their, say, their 50th percentile outcomes, right? That ceases to be on the front office. That begins to become a manager thing. It becomes to be a culture thing, a comfortability thing. And secondly, you can convince me that these guys didn't give up the last month of the season, the last 2 years. And a good manager does not let that happen, no matter how far you are out of the race. And in my judgment, at least looking from afar, that happened in each of the last 2 years for the Phillies. And that's what was so discouraging.
Did you not give these numbers to John Middleton over the last couple of weeks? This is the thing that confuses me, is that obviously there was a meltdown in two straight years and he didn't do a good enough job, and yet it took 2 weeks to convince him to zip the guy.
I was stunned. I don't know if he's flying around in that private jet somewhere or what, but like I like you, was really surprised that this didn't happen like the day after the season ended. So for it to go on this long was bizarre. Maybe he watched the Nationals win last night and just couldn't take it anymore.
Maybe. All right, so let's get to the Eagles. And you know, the game this week is a very interesting game. Minnesota's a 3-point favorite. There's all kinds of little subplots here in this game. The Minnesota people hate us as Philadelphians. It's the oddest thing I've ever seen. But when you look at this game, and you know the Vikings can rush the ball, the Eagles stop the run. So what gives here?
You know, I like a good bit of trivia. So do you know who the leading rusher is against the Eagles this season?
Yeah, I already know this answer, but gotta tell people.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is the leading rusher against the Eagles this season, but their rush defense will encounter its biggest test yet in Dalvin Cook and his north-south running style. So Cook has rushed for 440 yards between the tackles this season, and is averaging nearly 6 yards a pop. Conversely, the Eagles have allowed the fewest yards on those attempts and the second lowest rushing average. So something's got to give, but my money's on Fletcher Cox and the Eagles to whip up a game plan like the Bears did against Cook 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, and I agree with you. They stopped the run. I think you reduced Cousins into giving up the ball with a couple of picks. So let's move on to...
Time out. Wait a second. Who's getting those picks? Like, you know, who's playing cornerback?
Doesn't matter.
That can stop Thielen and Diggs.
He gives it up.
He gives it up.
You got Thielen and Diggs. Like, I agree with you guys
Cousins,
about
Cousins
stopping
gives
Cook.
It up, though.
But no, you need somebody to cover.
I'm with Mikey Miss here because without Dalvin Cook, there's no play action. Without play action, Kirk Cousins is useless.
Yeah,
completely useless without his play action.
Okay, the numbers are one thing, but those numbers aren't against the Eagles' cornerbacks. I believe in those numbers as well. I think your numbers are good. But all that said, the real issue is Diggs and Thielen against the Eagles' cornerbacks.
Yeah, those are guys. But the Vikings' pass offense is absolutely dreadful. As dreadful as the Eagles are covering right now. The same works for the other. I'm listening, and I called in to do something on the Vikings up there, and they're not. Their point of focus here is their vertical passing game and their passing game to the perimeter of the field. So look, this is definitely a weakness versus a weakness. But I think that will be exploited, starting with the running game and the play.
I think
they
have some trouble in pass pro. I've seen your tape.
Cousins turned into Hembo segment into a debate.
I love it. I just don't, like, they're a weakness, except they still have Diggs and Thielen, like two elite receivers or very good receivers. One of them's
elite. These guys are fighting with each other, cuz. These guys are fighting with each other through the media.
I know they are. But
that Giants defense they lit up last week is dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
So the Eagles defense, like the corners again, are?
Markedly better. Are you better than the Eagles' quarterbacks? Yes, sir.
Are you arguing against the Eagles right now?
I just got to be keep it real.
He's arguing against the Eagles. All right.
I hope Hembo's right. I hope they win.
Let's get to the cuz segment of the Hembo stats. Carson Wentz.
As best I can tell, the single most important factor for Carson Wentz on Sunday is his blitz diagnosis, okay? The Vikings only blitz 21% of the time, but they do it really, really well. Their opponents average only 3.8 yards per play on blitzes. That's the second best mark in the league. But quarterbacks are completing 72% of their balls against Minnesota's standard rush. That's the fourth highest mark in the NFL. They pick their spots when they blitz very, very well. But when they don't, that pass defense on Minnesota's side is actually kind of pedestrian.
All right, how you feel about that, Cos? How do you feel about Carson?
I like that.
In that kind of a stat.
There's no Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun was playing. I would like it even better.
All right, let's get to Cousins again, Hembo. Because he struggles against good teams, right? It's the one thing we know about him. His record is terrible, isn't it?
It is, and the numbers suggest you can actually make a few bucks at his expense on Sunday. As the Vikings quarterback, Cousins is 1-8-1 outright and 1-8-1 against the number against teams with a winning record. Further, Doug Peterson has covered 10 of his last 13 games as a dog dating to week 4 of 2017. Both of those notes are awfully good trends for Eagles bettors.
Outright.
And Cuz would argue, well, he's not playing against Rasul Douglas and whoever else.
Craig James.
Listen, I hope Hembo's right. I hope the numbers are bear out correct. And the one thing is, Doug's graded it as an underdog.
Cuz, before I get to Hembo's last stat, which is always a betting stat, what do you think the percent chance to win for the Eagles is on Sunday?
They're a 3-point dog, right? So their percentage would be 42%, 44%.
It's less than that, Hembo. Yeah, what is it?
Our Football Power Index, FPI, gives the Eagles a 35% chance to win Sunday. That equates on our model to a 5.5-point dog. And because it's a conference game and because the Eagles have already lost two of those, the outcome carries significant leverage. The Eagles' current playoff chances, we have at 60%. That number increases to 74% with a win, reduces to 52% with a loss.
Oof.
Wow, so it's interesting. They bear them out as a 5.5-point dog, yet they're only a 3-point dog.
Yes.
Yes, it's an interesting case. Usually our model in Vegas are closer.
That line is squawking.
It's telling you
the Hembo line is squawking. All right. Hembo, thanks, man.
You're right, bro.
Did you have fun in the debate today, Hembo?
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm sorry, bro.
That's all right. It's awesome. It sounded good. Hembo held the zone.
Taste of my teenage years, man. I'd have to pinch myself if you told 16-year-old Hembo I'd be arguing with the cousin Mikey Mills. This is a delight, man. This is like me playing shortstop for the Phillies. Right?
Thanks,
you're
bro.
Awesome, bro.
Thanks
I love
for coming
you.
On.
Later, boys.
All right, there he is. Hembo's great.
I love the segment every week. He's got some good stats,
man. He digs into stats. This dude
he's
a stat
awesome.
Digger.
I love it. Now, he's terrific at it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.